You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the March 2023 issue of Vanity Fair magazine. This is Vanity Fair Part A, and this issue is the 29th annual Hollywood issue and features currently Oscar-nominated stars on the cover. Here's the editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. Photograph by Landon Nordeman. Radhika Jones and Jonathan Majors at the Gotham Awards in New York City, November 2022. The spectacular actors on the cover of this magazine are only in their 20s and 30s, but it feels inadequate to call them rising stars. They've already staked out their rightful places in the firmament. None of them, however, had yet appeared on our annual Hollywood cover. That obviously had to change as quickly as possible. We are pleased to present, under the banner of the Hollywood Issue 2023, a new power generation, 12 leading lights of stage and screen, who we know will impress, enrapture, and entertain us for decades to come. Our dynamic dozen have turned in terrific performances over the past few years, running the gamut from prestige television to indie films to box office smashes, and they're racking up award nominations and industry honors. All that goes without saying. What truly sets them apart is their willingness to take risk, surprising their audiences, and maybe even themselves, with their range and ambition. Julia Garner's journey from a scene-stealing teen on The Americans to the spitfire Ruth Langmore on Ozark to the Celine-sporting con woman Anna Delvey on Inventing Anna already qualifies her as a national treasure. Jonathan Majors just wowed crowds at Sundance with his turn as an aspiring bodybuilder in the new movie magazine Dreams. Other new projects, for a change of pace, include Creed 3 and a Marvel Studios Ant-Man and the Wasp sequel. While Florence Pugh, who's had a monopoly on on-screen magnetism ever since she rebranded Little Women as an Amy March vehicle, heads for the deserts of Dune, joining Austin Butler, also known as Elvis. It's all par for the course for these extraordinarily talented people. If our cover subjects are redefining movie stardom, Gloria Swanson helped invent it in the first place. So we're delighted to publish a deeply personal and wickedly observant piece by Vanity Fair living legend Wayne Lawson, all about his surreal and triumphant experience ghostwriting Swanson's autobiography starting in 1979. He also sets the record straight regarding the contributions of her business partner and much younger lover, Brian Degas. Wayne began working at Vanity Fair in 1982 when it was being relaunched by S.I. Newhouse Jr., and during his 32-year tenure at the magazine, edited Dominic Dunn, Bob Colicello, Patricia Bosworth, and other prominent writers. He has been holding this story close for decades, and we are so glad that the time was finally right to share it. The Hollywood sign turns 100 this year, and in a dispatch from its iconic setting, Mark Seal writes about its enduring capacity to inspire cinematic dreams. From first-time Oscar nominees Ana de Armas and Austin Butler on our cover, to first-time Oscar nominee Bill Nye answering the Proust questionnaire on our back page, we hope this year's Hollywood issue inspires those dreams, too. Here are some of the contributors to the issue. Samantha Gasmer, LA Confidential. The very LA nature of this shoot was special to me, says Los Angeles native and Vanity Fair assistant fashion editor Samantha Gasmer. I loved diving into Martin Scholler's Chinatown and Bonnie and Clyde references, so I was thrilled Richard Rushfield and Janice Min were game to go there with the fashion, she says, of the day filled with laughs and Hollywood secrets. Wayne Lawson, Swanson Song. Swanson on Swanson was a memorable, rewarding project for me, says Wayne Lawson, whose story this month goes inside his work on silent film star Gloria Swanson's 1980 memoir that proved pivotal in his career. 2 years after its publication, Vanity Fair brought him on as a senior editor. That changed the course of my life for the next 32 years. My ghostwriting days were over, he says. Martin Scholler, LA Confidential. After reading articles in The Ankler, I thought this concept of journalist at work mixed with a 1930s private eye aesthetic would be the perfect theme to photograph Janice and Richard, says Martin Scholler, the celebrated portrait photographer and longtime Vanity Fair contributor, is preparing for a 25-year retrospective of his fine art series Close Up. Krista Schlitter, Gen Z in the house. Krista Schlitter, a photographer and native New Yorker who has been documenting the New York scene for over a decade, was very excited to go to D.C. to capture Maxwell Frost. It's inspiring to see someone in Congress who more closely resembles your own lifestyle and perspective, she says, of the youngest member of Congress, who she believes will help usher in a new era of change. Natalie Jarvie, Free Agents. While listening to her sources share their personal reasons for leaving their jobs as agents, Natalie Jarvie, who joined Vanity Fair as a Hollywood correspondent in 2022, realized how much she could relate to their experiences. Like many of the people I spoke to, I was part of the Great Resignation. In fact, I changed jobs twice, she says. The pandemic caused me to rethink what I wanted out of work. Behind the Issue with Britt Hennemuth. In the photos, Julia Garner and Kiki Palmer on set, stylist Patty Wilson, and photographer Stephen Klein. Hoyon sits for a portrait, Jeremy Allen White, and Austin Butler show off their party tricks. It started with Stephen sending me images of the Viper Room in L.A. in the 90s. Johnny Depp and Kate Moss, Keanu Reeves, says stylist Patty Wilson. Of course, we had to make it more of a glamorous after-party, but still keep it a bit dark and twisted. Stephen, as the hyper-real portraits in this issue make clear, is the legendary photographer Stephen Klein, who photographed a generation of rising stars for our 29th annual Hollywood cover. The portfolio was shot at LA's Milk Studios in November. There were 10 guards for the jewelry and 36 racks of clothes, not to mention 300 pairs of shoes, which Jeremy Allen White's young daughters played with happily as Daddy got styled. Selena Gomez and Ana de Armas met and formed a mutual admiration society. Kiki Palmer, who would announce her pregnancy 2 weeks later on Saturday Night Live, seemed to hug everyone she met, even in passing. Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation 1814 was the crowd favorite on set. In a smaller studio nearby, the stars all happily demonstrated their favorite party tricks. Florence Pugh showed off her contortionist skills, and Roger Jean Page broke and unbroke his nose for videos that you can and honestly must see at VF.com. It was a hell of an after party.
Thank you.
Home Movie by Britt Hennemuth. In his first major film role, Gabriel LaBelle stars as a future big league filmmaker. Steven Spielberg has quite the track record for launching some of Hollywood's greats, Drew Barrymore, Christian Bale, Gwyneth Paltrow, last year's Oscar-winning Ariana DeBose. His latest find, however, was a bit more personal. The director needed someone to play his fictionalized teenage self, Sammy, in his semi-autobiographical movie The Fablemans. Enter 20-year-old Gabriel LaBelle, pictured here. Amid Oscar buzz for the film and LaBelle's performance, the newcomer reflects on all kinds of screen life. LaBelle caught the acting bug during a summer camp production of Footloose at home in West Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm 8, and I'm hanging out with 13-year-old girls who are playing with my giant curly hair. How do I keep doing more of this? He auditioned for the part over Zoom from his parents' dining room. I had 2 days to prep. I'm not eating with the family. I'm just isolating and working on it. After nabbing the role, he says the rest was like a masterclass. You get there early enough, he's setting up the shot in real time. Part of me was envious of the stand-ins. If you're lucky, you can watch him make the movie. Where adolescent Steven and Sammy had Bayard Bolek's 8mm cameras, LaBelle had Snapchat. I had a cooking show called Chef Gabe. I'm off social media, but I didn't delete my account because I have my whole high school life documented. In his youth, Spielberg was unique for his obsessive family cataloging. Everybody can do that now. His co-stars, Michelle Williams, Paul Dano, and Seth Rogen, similarly found success in their late teens and offered wisdom on that professional transition. He also savored his time with scene stealer Judd Hirsch. He asked Hirsch a ton of questions, including how the pasta was one day. He said, "It's very good, but if I was Italian, I wouldn't like it." At the Toronto International Film Festival premiere, LaBelle knew what was coming. 2 scenes before my character shows up, I grab my mom's hand. After about 10 minutes, I exhale. I'm like, phew. My life isn't going to be ruined. That's amore. This spring, Chef Evan Funk of L.A.'s beloved Mother Wolf and Felix Trattoria is launching Funk, a new restaurant in Beverly Hills. Here, he shares some inspirations. Bologna, Italy. The city is where I found my true self, he says, who served as the 2022 Vanity Fair Oscar Party Maestro de Cuisine, sating guest with lasagna bolognese, and returns to the role this year. It's my second home. Avocella, sung by Luciano Pavarotti. The song, composed by Paolo Tosti and written by the poet Gabriele D'Annunzio, is a Neapolitano love song written in dialect. Lost in Translation, focus features. I like it because it has this quiet energy to it. It's about what could be, but can't be. It's beautifully shot and perfectly romantic. Now this from Daisy Shaw Ellis, Stitch in Time, with photograph by Horacio Salinas, of a Marc Jacobs, the Stam bag in leather. If you weren't carrying a Marc Jacobs Stam handbag in the early aughts, you wanted to be, named for model Jessica Stam and synonymous with effortless cool, the It bag dangled from the crook of many a famous arm. Rihanna, Beyoncé, Lindsay Lohan. Now, 10 years after its retirement, the distinctive quilted leather, chunky metal chain strap, and coin purse closure are reborn as part of the M Archives. Other beloved reboots include the Carly and Mini Natasha bags in 3 colorways and 2 sizes. Advice for those eager to dive into their style storage units? Take the bag, leave the BlackBerry. Now for what's trending. Make a scene. Be it in Berlin or Bushwick, dance straight on till morn with glitter eyeshadow, sky-high platforms, and a beat louder than your day-glow outfit. In a photo, glow like Paris Hilton, club kid, hotel, air, reality star, Ibiza DJ, and author of Paris, the memoir, out this month. Rave reviews on these items: Bottega Veneta sunglasses, Fendi pants, Kosas plump plus juicy vegan collagen spray-on serum, Submission Beauty plastic-free red glitter, Richard Mille watch, Pat McGrath Labs Dark Star mascara in aquamarine dream, Neon Hippie Aura Cleanse facial cleanser, Rick Owens top, Don't Let Disco bracelet, Marie Lichtenberg necklace, Marnie top, poster girl dress, Tude hypnotic color cream and moon dance, Jean Vito Rossi shoes, Louis Vuitton men's mini trunk. Master of Illusion, with photograph by Horacio Salinas of an Hermès Lure du Jour mono earring. For a magician, shadows are as important as the spotlight. Pierre Hardy, creative director of Hermès's jewelry métier, explores the art of visual deception in this single earring, which foregrounds glistening gems, moonstones in orange, gray-green, and white, and 2 colors of diamonds. A slick of black jade reflects and reconfigures the stone's shapes like a funhouse mirror. Now you see it. Your own Belle Époque. What makes a good life? Six actors inspired by a classic fragrance get philosophical, by Laura Regensdorf, with illustration of these actresses by Bijou Carmen. Julia Child was not a classical beauty, Isabella Rossellini says, from her converted barn in Bellport, New York, days after filming wrapped up for the second season of HBO's Julia. Rossellini plays a Culinary Legends co-author. She was very tall and kind of awkward and had a funny voice, but had an enormous sense of wit and this passion for the kitchen. Rossellini is talking about the French phrase La vie est belle, which she likens to the Latin carpe diem, a call to relish life. If the TV chef embodied that philosophy with gusto, so does another Julia. The pretty woman who has fronted Lancôme's La Vie est Belle perfume, optimistic with notes of iris, vanilla, and jasmine since its debut in 2012. A decade later, the French beauty house is uniting six of its ambassadors, Julia Roberts and Rossellini, along with Penelope Cruz, Lily Collins, Amanda Seyfried, and Zendaya, for a campaign that waxes essential. Make life beautiful, goes the new tagline, which begs the follow-up, in what way? Like a trusted astrologer, Vanity Fair consulted the stars. Roberts, appearing next in the adaptation of the novel Leave the World Behind, defines living well outside the self. It's a sense of all those around me being in a good place, feeling centered and seen, says the mother of three. Cruz cites an evening years ago at Roberts' home when they discussed motherhood. I remember a great conversation with Julia when she already had her children and I didn't yet have mine, and telling her how much I wanted that kind of life for me, she says. The more gratitude you are able to experience every day, I think the happier you will be. It seems we all know that, but sometimes we forget to practice. So the verb in make life beautiful is key. Living well is, in part, an endeavor. Zendaya has made gratitude a nightly practice. Sometimes I write it down, and sometimes I say it out loud. But simply saying, I'm thankful for these things, really helps put life in perspective. Collins remembers 2012 as the year of her first major film, Mirror, Mirror, with Roberts. Back then, I was focused more on keeping myself busy. I always wanted to be on the go and say yes to everything I could, she says, describing a current devotion to morning dog walks on the beach. Seyfried, who tends a menagerie, can relate. Isabella and I talked about our farms and how eerily similar our lives are right now, she says. We have the same passion for what we've created. Camera ready? Five new fragrances reveal a cinematic bent, as if primed for hypothetical film adaptations. Paco Rabanne Fame. Dressed in blackout shades and a silver chainmail dress, this bottle suggests the glittering armor of a star. Notes of jasmine, mango, and incense give the scent a sunny spin, befitting its ambassador Elle Fanning, conjuring a satirical two-hander about an A-lister and her oversharing assistant. Friedrich Mahl, Uncut Gem. There is a bracing sensuality to this creation by Maurice Roussel. Warm musk, frankincense, and leather, brightened by citrus and ginger. A variation on the nose's own cologne, it sparks the story of a sculptor. Sorry, not a diamond district guy, and his obsessions in marble and in love. Hermès, Un Jardin Austère. For this ode to the Greek island of Kythira, perfumer Christine Nagel drew on memories of pink pistachios and olive trees by the sea. It sets the scene for a Palme d'Or-winning saga about a complicated family that reunites for one indulgent summer. D.S. and Durga steamed rainbow. There's whimsy and exactitude in this fragrance, which features a spectrum in scent note form, red mandarin to violet, all bound together by humidity. It evokes an art house road movie about an adrift young painter and her dog making their way back to Kansas. 1969, yes please. This fragrance pairs garden staples, thyme, rose, with gin and tonic, and vinyl notes for a nod to the clubs of late 80s Manchester. In that spirit, a late music-driven rom-com rewinds to the era, following an aspiring writer tending bar and a rocker whose destinies entwine. About Town. LA-based designer Sarah Staudinger knows how to play it cool, from borrowed button-downs to mezcal on the rocks. Style file, daily uniform, I borrow my husband's blue Hermes button-downs all the time. Editor's note, that would be Ari Emanuel, CEO of Endeavor. To accessorize, Sydney Garber's Kareen earrings. For bed, what I wear to sleep depends on my moods. Lisette's loungewear or La Perla slips and robes cover most of them. Activewear, I live and work out in our Staud and New Balance collaboration. On beauty, skincare, Biologique Recherche Le VIP O2 cleanser, followed by the brand's P50V every day, no matter what. Serum is where I go a little crazy. Right now I use Face Tight by Skin Design London. Makeup routine, I use Charlotte Tilbury's Beauty Light Wand, Summer Fridays Sheer Skin Tint, and YSL's All Hours Foundation when I need fuller coverage. For contour, I use Merit's Bronze Balm, and I love Tower 28's Beach Please in Happy Hour on my lips and cheeks. At home, the workout, I use a mat, bands, free weights, and a medicine ball. I love the Bala Bangles and EOX fabric bands. Aroma, the 369 Gardenia candle is my favorite. The vessels are so beautiful, and once burned through, I can reuse them. On the table, I like single-stem arrangements in muted colors, especially this time of year. Lily Lodge in L.A. is my go-to florist. My everyday dishware is by Christian Perrochon, and I love Carlo Moretti's glasses for a touch of color. Entertainment? Reading. I love Speechify, so I can bounce between a physical and audiobook. I just finished Simon Sinek's The Infinite Game. The menu, morning cup, the first thing I drink each morning is a glass of water with lemon, ginger, and apple cider vinegar. Happy hour, mezcal on the rocks is pretty much the only alcohol I indulge in. It's Showtime, Books on Performance from On Point to On Screen by Keziah Weir. All the world's a stage or film set in this troupe of books. First, two tales of the movies. Michael Shulman's Oscar Wars from Harper examines the history of America's most watched and perhaps most divisive awards show, from the birth of the Academy to the 2017 Moonlight versus La La Land Best Picture debacle. In Helene Stepinski and Bonnie Siegler's The American Way from Simon and Schuster, Siegler looks into a piece of family lore. Her grandfather, who escaped the Holocaust with the help of the future publisher of DC Comics, supposedly captured Marilyn Monroe's subway great moment on film. In Permission to Speak, from Crown, Samara Bay, the speech coach who's helped Ruth Negga, Gal Gadot, and others perfect dialects on film, offers an empowering take on public speaking. Alice Robb presents a beautiful, difficult, and compelling memoir of her adolescent ballet training and her decision to leave it behind in Don't Think, Dear, from Mariner. And following two critically acclaimed runs in London, Zadie Smith's bawdy contemporary Chaucer reworking, The Wife of Williston, has just hit bookshelves courtesy of Penguin Books. And leaping right off the page, debuts off-Broadway at BAM Strong in April. Six-pack, time travels, sexual travails, and more new fiction. An illustration by Blake Kale showing the book covers. The Lost Americans and Vanity Fair contributing editor Christopher Bolland's sharp new literary thriller, a woman searches for answers in the wake of her brother's mysterious death in Cairo. From Harper, Flux, Jinwoo Chung's engrossing debut brands three narratives, A Boy in Mourning, A Whistleblower, and A Laid-Off Media Employee, to unspool a mystery examining pop culture and time from Melville House. Burnham Wood, a rogue gardening collective in New Zealand led by a self-mythologizing rebel, clashes with an American billionaire over land use in Eleanor Catton's thoughtful, personality-rich page-turner from FSG. What happened to Ruthie Ramirez? In Claire Jimenez's assured debut novel, a trio of Staten Island women glimpse the sister and daughter they lost years earlier and go out looking for her. From Grand Central, Take What You Need. Following her estranged stepmother's death in Appalachia, a woman returns home to confront old memories and new revelations in Idra Nove's double character study. From Viking. Big Swiss, plumbing trauma and desire, Jen Bagan's funny, poignant novel sees a transcriber for a Hudson Valley sex and relationship coach fall entranced by an orgasm-deficient client. From Scribner. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.